Hey guys, this is Mariah Bell.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Osmond.
Hi, I'm Patrick Chan.
Hi, this is Megan Duhamel.
And I'm Eric Radford.
Hi, it's Julianne Seguin.
And Charlie Bilodeau.
Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen.
Hi, I'm Gabrielle Damon.
Hi, I'm Kana Maravoto.
And I'm Chris Ree.
Oh, bonjour, je m'appelle Morgan Cipreb.
Hi, this is Vanessa James.
Hi, I'm Madison Hubble.
And I'm Zach Donahue.
Hi, I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
And you're listening to Ice Talk.
So you're probably like, wait a second, it's not Wednesday, so why is there an Ice Talk in my podcast feed? Well, in order for us to bring you 4 Worlds Preview episodes in 3 weeks, we had to do a special double episode week, so here we are. I'm Jackie Wong of rockerskating.com, and you're listening to episode 25 and the 3rd part of our Worlds Preview on Ice Talk. Today, I am super excited to bring on Olympic gold medalist and NBC commentator Tara Lipinski to the podcast. And after that, I'll be talking to Ashley Wagner as she looks ahead to the World Championships in Helsinki. Well, my first guest today really doesn't need much of an introduction. Tara Lipinski is the youngest ever Olympic champion in women's figure skating, and these days an NBC sports commentator. And she is no stranger to podcasting herself as the co-host with Johnny Weir for their Tara and Johnny podcast. Tara, welcome to Ice Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you and Johnny have embarked on your own podcasting adventures. I've listened to a good number of them now, and the two of you have so much fun on the podcast. It's almost like we're just really listening to you guys talk about your days, and it's actually really fun to listen to. How has it been to add podcasting to your broadcasting resume?
It's been incredible. When we first had a call about this opportunity, we're not really podcast listeners. We do, Johnny had no idea. He's like, wait, what is this? And I was like, okay, Johnny.
It's a radio show.
That is happening. But I listened to like Serial, and, I was like, what would we do? And how would we really find our little nook in this world?
Yeah.
And we said, let's give it a try. And so in Rio, we started. We had a great time, and we just do what we do when we're commentating. And that very first podcast, we're like, okay, let's wing it. Let's not talk about anything. Let's sort of see how, it flows. And I think we have good chemistry. And, I think when we're talking skating, it is serious. The moment we leave that booth, we are best friends. And I think that a lot of people, sort of like that. And I would say that's pretty much what our podcast is about. It's about our friendship and our lives and sort of our stories from skating or our stories from commentating. It's worked out really well, and we've had a good time, and the podcast is doing well. So we look forward to it every week. It definitely obviously doesn't feel like work. It feels like a phone call to Johnny, and we just have a bunch of listeners hearing it.
It really shows off a different side of you guys that you sometimes see a little bit, especially when you're doing more of that kind of the previews for NBC, but not necessarily like, behind the desk when you're at competitions, right? So it's fun to listen to. And your most recent episodes have focused a lot on your adventures in wedding planning. So how's everything going on that front?
It's been going really well. We're almost there.
That's good to hear.
I get married in June.
Nice.
It's been interesting. We got engaged about a year and a half out. And I think, I thought, I work in live television. I'm sort of used to, planning things and things going wrong. And I'm not going to be one of those brides that, is, so crazy about all the details and things like that. And then you realize when we put it off for way too long, and then 7 months we're away, we're like, okay, we should probably start. And everyone's like, you guys are waiting way too long.
Yeah.
We waited a little long. So now it's a little hectic, but, overall it's been a fun process, and I just can't wait for the actual moment, the ceremony and standing up there with Todd and having all of our friends and family there. It's going to be really special. So
that's so fun.
Crazy I'm getting married.
Yeah. That's so fun. I'd imagine you to be the type of person who's really organized. Am I projecting?
Yeah. Well, see, sometimes I know what I want, but I'm not the most organized.
I am projecting.
Yeah. Sometimes poses a problem, but I definitely enjoy the process of the really, I find the fun things of like, the furniture rentals and all the flowers. And I mean, as a girl, those are pretty exciting times and moments when you sort of are creating, this event. And also I'm super sentimental. So for my parents and and for Todd. I've been planning a lot of special little moments and things that we'll remember forever for that day. So it's been quite the process, but it's been a lot of fun.
Very cool. And I think I know the answer to this question now, but if you had to get up at ridiculously early hours to train for the Olympics all over again or plan your wedding, which one would you choose?
I will have to say this forever, no matter how hard a process will ever be. I'd go through skating again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, the experiences that I had, and no matter how tough it's been or how long that road was, it was so totally worth it. But yeah, wedding planning, I'm good. You know, this is it for the rest of my life,
yep.
And we got through it.
Yeah, exactly. You only get married once, right?
Yes.
And so, speaking of your skating career, the other day was the 20th anniversary of your win at the 1997 World Championships in Switzerland. What kind of memories have stayed with you from that week at Worlds?
You know, it's strange. It's been so long, and I feel like I've lived, you know, a double life, and especially now, be part of skating just in a completely different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so young back then that most days it feels like ages and ages ago, which it really is. But other days, it feels like just yesterday, and I think skating has been such a huge part of my life, and that will never change, even if I'm not out there competing. It's my childhood. It's, you know, my adulthood.
Right.
It's such a... obviously a passion of mine and something I love so much that, you know, it's always present in my life. Looking back on those accomplishments, you know, you do remember certain moments. You remember how nervous you were. You get these little, you know, glimpses and memories and feelings of stepping up onto that podium and watching your flag rise. And it's just, you know, looking back at it now, the pressure's all off, you know, all the nerves are gone, and it is sort of this sweet spot to be in, to just sort of realize you accomplished many of your dreams that you set out to accomplish, and you got through it and came out on the other side the way that you wanted to. But looking back at that World Championships, I mean, I was 14, and, you know, I knew what I wanted when I stepped on the ice, and for everything to sort of fall into place was an incredible and obviously magical moment for me.
Yeah, I still remember watching that on tape delay on ABC way back in the day. It was it was always fun to try not to be spoiled by the results because you knew that it happened already.
Right. Yeah,
exactly. Well, the past two decades have seen a lot of change in women's figure skating and skating in general, right? So you've witnessed a lot of it firsthand, especially as a commentator now. And I'd love to hear what you've liked and what you've not liked about the progression of our sport.
Well, I think, you know, obviously the biggest change since my era is the judging system.
Yep.
And I think that is, you know, the changes that have been made and continue to be made every single year are a step in the right direction. Do I think that it's perfect? No. I think skating always will struggle when it comes to judging, just because the sport is just always going to be, you know, it's a subjective sport.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to the judging, it's subjective. You know, you would hope for a finish line, and it's just not what it is. And I think there's great parts of skating that make that such a problem, because you have to add in artistry, you have to add in so many different other components into these performances that make it difficult to judge. You know, you rely on personal preference sometimes, and it's hard to distinguish between that. So I think that for figure skating, there will never be a perfect judging system, but
yeah.
I think we are taking steps in the right direction. Obviously, every single thing a skater does now is accounted for, but you still have areas like the grade of execution, where sort of the old system comes back into play, where I think the points can sort of be maneuvered in certain ways,
mm-hmm.
depending on what the judges see and what they want out of that competition. So, I mean, we're always honest with that, and we always speak up if we feel like, wait a minute, judge number two, what were you looking at?
Well, especially now that you can actually tell who the judge is.
Exactly. I like that a lot.
Right.
But, you know, and it's probably hard for the skaters too, because, you know, back in my day, there was no camera to see if you were under rotated or
mm-hmm.
you got a downgrade. But then again, it is all, you know, it's difficult if you're not a skater and maybe a judge that isn't a skater and looks at a certain camera angle and they call, you know, an under rotation. Sometimes I look at that and I you know, as a skater, I know certain skaters land in a certain position. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And, you know, I think the judging system is on its way to being better and better each year, but it's definitely not perfect.
Yeah.
And then obviously just, you know, the skating world has progressed as it should. And the difficulty, I mean, if you're looking at the women in Russia or the girls in Russia, sometimes I find these little blippets of junior ladies that are doing triples and and almost all the girls. I mean, the Russian team is so strong, and not just in the senior ranks. You know, you just realize whatever they've been doing over there when it comes to technical ability and technical difficulty, it's insane. So that has been one of those really, you know, eye-opening moments that you can't overlook. You know, just the talent that is coming out of Russia when it comes to jumping.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you talk about men. I mean, it's obviously a quad revolution has happened, and it seems that every year it just progresses further. You know, when you look back and you're like, wow, two quads, that's nuts. And then now it's like, you know, 25 in a program.
Yeah.
So, you know, technically the sport is moving in a great direction, I think. It's a sport. I mean, I definitely enjoy the athletic side of it. But again, you know, it does make it harder because you want that balance of artistry. And when you're technically progressing in this way, that always poses a challenge just to keep the choreography and the artistic element and the sort of character of the program and the emotion of the program present when you're trying all these difficult elements. But I think that's just going to set apart the great skaters from the not so great skaters.
Yeah.
The skaters that can actually mix the two.
I've had a number of, you know, the experts and here talking about the advance of the judging system, and I very much am in the camp of the skaters these days are both technically and overall as basic skaters just better skaters than they were before the judging system. I mean, I think there were certainly stagnant years where you're kind of like, oh, what am I watching? But I think that the last 5 to 7 years especially has been, it's a different era of the sport, and it's, I think, for the better.
I do, and I think, you know, for skaters that are so young, and I think that's, you know, what the federations always need to keep in mind is, you know, you're not just looking at your senior U.S. team or your, you know, senior lady at a world championships. You need to start thinking about the novices and the, you know, juniors and what they're doing. And I think in Russia, the way that, you know, it's worked is the girls, even in the lower levels, you know, are rewarded for the jumps that they try. And I think that's why they're so advanced, just because they had to push themselves so much harder at a younger age to sort of keep up, because they could be rewarded. And I think that's a good lesson for everyone. And I think also when you're young, you learn those jumps. And once those jumps are sort of under your belt, it is easier than trying to do it at 25 years old.
Yeah.
And so then adding in the artistic element and making sure your spins and your footwork and your edge quality, all of those other components that go into your score are there, it's sort of easier because you've already mastered the difficult triples. So you do have time to sort of mix the boat, the both elements that you need.
It sometimes becomes a trade-off between, you know, do you get all the jumps now, or is it more of kind of a long play of longevity? And we've seen now that both of them are also possible, right? With the U.S. women, we're definitely looking at an Ashley Wagner, who's been the most consistent American name in for the women for a good number of years now. And so, you know, seeing her as somebody who has grown as an artist and also has grown as a technician, that's been somewhat unorthodox, but I think is something that we may see more of now that skaters are doing more of the bigger jumps earlier on, and I think technique and training has gotten better.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. And I'm watching someone like Ashley, you know, even for me, I don't know how many years, 8 years that I've been doing this as a commentator, like watching the arc of her career has been incredible. And, you know, it can happen at any age. I mean, she's the first to admit when we talk to her, like, you know, the Russians have it on me when it comes to technical ability. It's just, it's harder for me to do that. And, you know, Yevgenia can go out and do triple, you know, Ashley Wagner just isn't able to do that at this point.
Right.
And, but the way that she has grown as an artist over the years, that just happens. The longer you stay in the sport, the more you grow, the more you know yourself as a skater. And, you know, for me to watch her, she's the most entertaining. She has the guts that you need in this sport, and she has that grit to say, okay, I know where I may be lacking a little bit in comparison to someone else, but I know where I'm going to make up for that. And she's smart and savvy when it comes to that. And she's a true competitor. And I think that's what sets her apart from any other American lady.
Yeah. Speaking of American ladies, we'll switch gears over to the World Championships now. Ashley is going to be joined by Karen and Mariah, who are both making their world's debut. So what do you think are the crucial things for them as they try to keep the three spots for the Olympics?
Well, I'm sure Ashley was a bit surprised at, you know, nationals.
Yeah.
I'm sure going in, she thought, I'm going to walk out with this title. We know that Ashley loves the underdog position. So I think whatever happened at nationals really is sort of in the past and has no consequence on what will happen at Worlds. I think she knows what she's capable of. And I think she knows that she's the strongest American no matter what the results are at this past nationals.
Yeah.
And you have someone like Mariah Bell and Karen Chen. And obviously after nationals, Karen didn't have the greatest performance or showing as, you know, the reigning U.S. national champion. And I think my biggest concern for her is she had an incredible night, two nights at the nationals, but can she uphold that, especially dealing with the pressure of coming into a world championship as a national champion? That's difficult. I've been there myself, and yeah. I, you know, you just have these extra added pressures after you win a nationals, and then you step out, and no matter what, eyes are on you, and it feels different, and you feel the pressure of representing your country in a certain way and proving yourself and going out to that world and doing the best you can. So I think that Karen's going to be sort of, in my mind, a 50-50 chance. Either we'll get one of those incredible performances that, you know, she gives us nationals sort of charisma and spunk, and everything that she put on the ice there was just so magical. And if she can do that at a world championships, that would be a huge step for her in her career. And Mariah Bell, I have been so excited about her all season. I know, I think working with Raf has, you know, really helped her. But, you know, I've talked to Raf, and he says, you know, I still need more time with her. So I think, you know, you always want to be at the right time. You want to be in the right time and the right place and sort of have it all fall into place. And I think she made the team, but I'm not quite sure she's had enough time with Raf. She's had enough time to sort of deal with the nerves and deal with the pressures of sort of being now looked at in a different way. She's no longer just placing fifth or sixth or seventh at national championships, and that's sort of it. She's on the international scene, and she's representing her country at the world championships. So I think for both Karen and Mariah, it's going to be, you know, interesting to see how they handle those pressures. But I love Mariah. I think she has this freshness about her and a very youthful style to her skating and a lightness, and her face comes alive and she gives us a performance. And I think, you know, over the last decade, you know, you have your stars that give you performances and give you that charisma and character and sort of star quality that you're looking for, and what makes, you know, these starlets of skating last for years and years. And there's only a few that come along, you know, and I think Ashley Wagner is one of them. I think Mariah could be that person. She just sort of has to get the whole package put together.
Yeah, and hopefully their performances or their experiences at Four Continents are going to help maybe relieve a little bit of that pressure.
Get the nerves out there, right?
Yeah, exactly. let's cross our fingers for that. Well, besides the U.S. ladies, there's a whole slew of powerhouse countries going to Worlds. There's Russia, there's our usual Japan, although Japan is missing a couple of its, you know, big names, and also, you know,
Satoko
just withdrew it, and Mao Asada obviously had a rough season, didn't make it out of Japan Nationals. In terms of Satoko, you know, she's injured with a hip stress fracture, right? And you had hip issues yourself. What do you think her recovery road is going to look like?
Well, I don't know exactly, you know, her type of injury, stress fracture, and how that sort of heals and what your recovery process is. I had a torn labrum. For me, it was misdiagnosed for so many years, which was the hardest part and the most painful part. So when I actually went to an incredible doctor and he's like, okay, you have this and you need surgery tomorrow. And I got it done, you know, 7 days later, I hobbled on crutches to the ice. And, you know, 2 months later, I, you know, was doing my first two triples. And it's a slow process. Yeah. But for me, it helped my skating because I was in so much pain and it actually gave my leg more stability. But, you know, I don't know exactly with a stress fracture, sort of, you know, I'm assuming you need a ton of rest for that to heal. But, you know, coming back from an injury is never easy because sometimes it's not always just dealing with the pain or the recovery and the physical aspect of it, but it's more the mental aspect of it. And it's more also just getting back into the groove of your training and making sure you're in shape and prepared because, you know, when you step out on the ice, that's really what counts. Mm-hmm. And when you have to deal with the pressure, you need all of those other things to align in the perfect way and make sure you have everything checked off your list. And sometimes coming back from an injury, it's just harder to get to that point.
Well, hopefully she will have a smooth recovery back for the Olympic season. And then also you got the Canadian women as well coming in, having really good showings this season. But I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about Carolina Costner, who's coming back for her 13th Worlds. Where do you think she fits into this puzzle?
That it's just crazy when I first heard that. You can never count Costner out.
Yeah.
She's been around too long, and she has the experience, and I think she's sort of accomplished things that she's wanted to, and she's achieved probably many of her dreams. So I think there is a calmness about her skating now where, mm-hmm. you know, she's out there because she loves it. She misses competition. And she doesn't have the pressures that maybe some of the other skaters do, like maybe some of the Russians do. So it will be interesting to see how that balances out just with the fact that technically if she does her triple-triple or, you know, a clean program plus all the added Costner beautiful skating.
The Costner magic.
She could be right back in the mix.
Right.
So, you know, even though she's a bit older, I wouldn't count her out
just
because I think mentally she has such a great grasp on competition and has such a good sense of self and knows herself at this point in her career. And then you have Caitlin Osman, who I really, really love. I think she's one of those great, spunky skaters that also can deliver exciting, humongous monster jumps with great speed that sort of makes her the perfect mix of an athlete and an artist.
Yeah.
And that short program is just a stunner, but the free skate she really does struggle with. So, you know, you don't know if you can really bet on her to come out as, you know, the last competition of the season and nail that long program.
Right. Well, such an exciting lineup for the women in Helsinki. Tara, we'll hear more from you on NBC for World, right?
Yes, you will. It was great speaking with you. I'm glad we could do this.
Fantastic. Be sure to download Tara and Johnny, the podcast. It's a really fun listen. And thanks for joining me on the Ice Talk today, Tara.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Kira Karpi. Catch all the world's coverage on icenetwork.com.
Hey, guys, it's Christy Yamaguchi, and you can subscribe to Ice Talk on iTunes.
Hey, this is Ashley Wagner, and you are listening to Ice Talk.
Ashley Wagner was our very first guest on Ice Talk, and so it is very much appropriate that we have her back on the podcast 20-plus episodes later at the end of the season. Glad you could take some time to chat with us on the podcast.
Thank you for having me back. 20-plus episodes is a huge deal, so congrats on your first season, and hopefully people still want to hear what I have to say, so this is going to be fun.
I'm sure they do. While we're digging out of this big snowstorm on the East Coast, how's the weather over there in Southern California?
Oh, you know, I'm just beach babing it up and enjoying life as is, so it's been really great.
Yeah, I was listening to Nick McCarville's interview with Mariah a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he was like, so what do you do for fun or like to go on breaks? She was like, yeah, I just, you know, I go take a run on the beach. And it's like, yeah, it's a good life over there.
I know, when I'm 70 and need to retire somewhere, and you know, everyone likes to like retire to the beach. Now that's my life already. So I'm living the life of like a 70-year-old retired woman. So I really can't complain. I get to go walk the beach after skating. Life is really great.
Yeah, that sounds pretty great. And of course you are training as a world-class athlete, so that's, you know, you deserve your breaks after your grueling sessions on the ice.
My happiness, too. I agree.
So when we last chatted on Ice Talk back in October now, I think it was, we asked you if we should have Raf on the podcast, and we did end up having him on right after the U.S. Championships. There was one thing he said on there that I wanted to ask you about. So we asked him...
This is going to be... Ask away.
Well, we asked him what he thought about your performance in Kansas City and of Nathan's and Mariah's, and he said, well, Ashley Wagner was Ashley Wagner, meaning... You went there and you did your job and you qualified for Worlds. So how did you feel about what you did at Nationals and where you were at that point in the season?
I was really happy with how Nationals went for me. I think, you know, Raf said it exactly how it was. I showed up, I delivered exactly what I had told myself I was going to do, exactly what I had expected for myself to put out there. So for me, Nationals was a huge success. I, of course, every single national championships you go to, you want to come away the champion. I never enter a competition to lose, ever. But my main focus was to get onto that world team. And also, I was coming off of a really rocky season. You know, Skate America had been really solid for me. And then Cup of China was somewhat of a unexpected disaster. You know, on the outside looking in, not totally terrible, but when you really look at it, disastrous. And I think that going into Nationals, it was just really intimidating because I was so used to having the Grand Prix final as another outing just to kind of gain experience. Mm-hmm. So stepping out onto that ice for that short program, after the last short program I had competed not being my best showing, that was terrifying. No matter how much experience I have with Nationals, that was not easy. And I think I did exactly what I needed to do. So I was really happy with everything that I took away from Nationals.
Yeah, you talked about not making it to the Grand Prix final. You were also at one point slated to be at Golden Spin, I think it was, and you ended up withdrawing at probably like a week before. So did you think about going there just to have that rhythm of competing at that same time?
Absolutely. So I had planned on going to Golden Spin. It was kind of, I rushed into the whole process immediately after I knew that I wasn't going to qualify for the Grand Prix final. You know, the wheel started turning and I was thinking about just kind of keeping the rhythm of the season. And I've never done a Senior B before. And so I got home and Adam was like, Ash, you need to know that like this isn't going to be like a Grand Prix. You're not going to show up and it's not going to feel like a Grand Prix. It's going to be totally different. The environment, it's going to be a different type of competition. Yeah. You just need to know that. And I think at the end of the day, Raf was the one who really made the decision for me. He was the one that pulled me aside and was just like, you know, you don't need this. You don't need to run around like a chicken with your head cut off. You need to just take this time and train. You're not going to get anything out of going to this event, so stay home and train. And it was honestly the smartest decision I could have made.
Yeah, and you've made that decision a lot to forego competitions and take the break and have the training time. And we'll talk about that in a little bit about your not having gone to four continents for a few years now. But we love going back in time here on Ice Talk, or at least I love going back in time, really. But I wanted to rewind back to 2008. To your very first World Championships.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's walk through hell together.
Well, what was it like, really, to be at such a huge competition for the very first time?
I had no real grasp of what I was walking into. I think that was definitely part of my problem. I was very overwhelmed. I had really shot up through this whole process very fast. I did one season of juniors, mm-hmm. and then the next season I was on the Grand Prix circuit. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, going to Worlds, and it all happened very fast. And I was overwhelmed and so intimidated and was not prepared for that level of competition at all.
Yeah.
I just wasn't really ready for what I was out there to do. And you know what? It's like when people put horrific experiences in the back of their mind and they can't remember it. I do not remember that event at all. The only thing I remember, and this is the thing that was so unfair, I was skating right after Miki Ando, and Miki Ando, I don't even know what happened to her. something happened.
Oh, yes.
Like mid-program.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just remember being told, Mickey's off the ice, Mickey's off the ice. It's your time to go. And I was just like in battle mode, going like all cylinders firing. And then I'm like so jerky and nervous. I just got out onto the ice right away and was ready to go. I don't think my legs were even attached to my body for that program. And it was just a disaster to be expected. I just didn't have the tools to be able to handle that event.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. I now remember, I believe Mickey had been injured going into World, and she was like trying to skate. She was trying to kind of push through it, and she did her warm-up. I think you guys were in the same warm-up group, obviously, but I think she was, like, first off the warm-up. I just remember her, like, just all of a sudden being like, I can't do this. I gotta withdraw. A lot of people say, like, it takes a lot of courage to skate injured, but it also, I think, takes a lot of courage to recognize that if you skate the way that you are feeling right now, you might do a lot more harm to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, for her, at the end of the day, I'm sure it was the absolute correct decision to be made. But for me, as a 16-year-old that worked for the first time, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're like, okay, it's your time to go. Like, let's go. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this for my country. It was just a lot to put onto my shoulders, and it was just overwhelming.
I'm so surprised when those things happen that they don't just use the allotted time that they give to each skater and be like, okay, well, we're going to take a break for 3 minutes and stay on schedule.
Exactly. I think it was just a combination of a lot of different things, but, you know, I've always been a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And, you know, that experience led me to realizing, okay, I think it's time for me to find a coach who can kind of take me to the next level. And so that's what led me to Priscilla after that event.
Yeah. And so, you know, going into those worlds, like, what were your hopes and dreams? And, like, coming out, what were your hopes and dreams?
Oh, my God, of course. Like, you go in and you're like, I'm going to be world champion. I wasn't going to be world champion. I don't even know what I wanted to happen. I was so starstruck, and you know, I'm on the ice with some of these girls that I've been watching on TV for years, and I think that whole time I just couldn't believe it was happening to me. I was in like total Jason Brown mode, like, oh my God, this is so the best thing ever, this is amazing. And you know, that works for Jason, but like for me, that is not my competitive best. So it was definitely just, I didn't even have the tools. And then coming out of it, I was like, okay, well, hopefully I can graduate high school because skating's not working out for me. No, it was just, I realized then that I had realized what had happened after it had happened to me. And I realized, okay, wow, I can actually compete at Worlds.
Yeah.
I showed up to Worlds. I was a Worlds athlete. Maybe I can like really do this whole Olympic thing. You know, because as a kid, you always say, I want to go to the Olympics. I want to go to the Olympics. But then one day, all of a sudden, you wake up and you're like, wait, no, I could go to the Olympics. And I think that was kind of one of those moments where it made me realize, like, wow, if you kind of revamp this and focus, it could be a reality.
That's a lot of self-reflection for a 16-year-old, for sure.
Oh, I'm very wise for my age.
we're not going to talk about age in this.
No, we're not.
Is that where your Twitter and Instagram handles came in, the Ash Wagner 2010? Was it kind of a goal that you were setting for yourself?
Yes, absolutely. That was, I don't remember when I got on either of those platforms, but I was like, okay, clearly 2010 is the goal, so I'm going to like just make my entire life about Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked out real great for me.
Well, what was interesting is after 2010, when you didn't make the Olympics, and obviously we can look back fondly at it now that you've been to the Olympics, but I think a lot of people on Twitter were like, why is Ashley still 2010? Like, shouldn't she be Ash Wagner 2014? And like, knowing you and knowing kind of the way you think, it seems like it was probably a way for you to say, look, I need to face up to the fact that I didn't make it to the Olympics in 2010, and I'm not going to change that. And you know, it's a way for you to motivate yourself. Am I like psychoanalyzing this too much?
Entirely, that's definitely on point. I think that, you know, I can't tell you how many times people have like tweeted at me, why are you still 2010? But you know what? Like, looking back now, not making that Olympic team was the best thing that could have ever happened to me in my career, period. Because I was at this weird kind of transition phase where I had just graduated high school the year before, and I had this like 1 year to kind of make the Olympic team. And then I probably would have retired. Honestly, I would have gone to the Olympics and been like, okay, I'm an Olympian now. I can say that I'm an Olympian and end my career with that. I'm happy with that.
That would have been crazy. Gone,
and I would have been like, you know, maybe top 10 at best. And I think I would have really, that would have been the end of my career. So I am still Ash Wagner 2010 because 2010 is one of the best things that ever happened to me because that, like, just missing that team changed the course of my life entirely. Yeah. And I will forever be 2010. And also, it's like so hard to get a new handle these days. I'm not even going to bother. like poetic meaning behind my handle.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's funny because when I watch Nathan's free skate, it's the same music that you skated to in 2010.
I let him know that.
So do you ever kind of like listen to it and this is kind of surreal?
It's funny because Nathan is skating to my 2010 long, yeah, and Mike Brezina is skating to my 2010 short.
Yes.
So if anything, listening to Mike's music every single day is way harder for me because the short program was the one that ruined everything.
Yep, yep. Or didn't ruin everything.
True, very true. Right. Glass half full. I like this mentality. We're going to stick with that.
Exactly.
It's definitely funny. It kind of kept on taking me back earlier in the season. And now I just hear these like men chanting in the program. And I'm like, this was a really masculine program for me to be skating to. we couldn't do crossovers then either. So I guess it was really appropriate.
We all want men chanting in our programs, don't we?
That's true. We do.
Yeah. We're going to fast forward now. Last couple of years, you've gone to Worlds with skaters that you've competed with for many years and skaters who've had a lot of big competition experience. So between Gracie and Mariah and Paulina, like they had all been in some big situations.
Right.
This year, you've got two World Championships rookies going with you.
And I got the baby coming along.
Yeah, exactly.
Mama's taking the kids to Worlds.
So how do you think your experience and your knowledge is going to help or not help Mariah and Karen as they are handling their first Worlds?
You know, USFSA, they chose this team for a reason, which means, you know, our governing body has decided that this team, these are the women that are the most prepared to go and get those three spots back. And, you know, I really believe in these ladies. I can't say so much about Karen's mindset because I don't see her every single day. Mm-hmm. But being around Mariah, I think that she is such a talented athlete. I think that she has a lot to learn. And she is, every now and then I kind of see her get caught up in that moment like, oh my God, I'm going to Worlds for the first time. How is it me? I can't believe this is happening. And I think Adam actually pulled her aside right after Nationals and was like, okay, it's happening. Believe it. You deserve it. You're here.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of going to have to be the mindset of these women going into Worlds. You're on the team for a reason. We all have a job. Everyone is playing a part. And I think that at the end of the day, my main focus obviously is going to be on myself. I need to go out there and do my own job. And at the end of the day, if I can set everybody else up as good as I possibly can, I think we're in great form. I think if the Karen Chen of Nationals shows up to Worlds, we are in great form. I think if Mariah just does what I see her do in practice
every day,
if she believes in what she's doing, we're going to be fine.
I think you're completely right on that. It's probably going to be them psyching themselves out that is going to be potentially an issue. So you know, hopefully that the four continents experience helped them kind of level set a little bit.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, Worlds is scary. Worlds is terrifying. And that's what I've been telling Mariah. Like, you're going to go and you're going to feel so scared. So you know what? Like, in practice, it's your job right now to get yourself as prepared as possible so that when you step out onto world ice and you can't even feel your legs and the crowd is so loud, I think it's a sold-out event already.
It is, yeah.
That you just know that you've been trained and you're ready to go. And that's honestly the best that any of us can do.
Yeah.
So these ladies just have to keep their heads on straight and focus on themselves.
Right, for sure. Now, of course, you're very much used to going to these big events. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is the first time you're going to be competing back in the Nordics since 2008. Yeah. And 2008 Worlds was in Sweden. So, but you're going to be, is this going to be your first time in Finland competing?
It's my first Finnish competition in general. I'm very excited to go see the Finns.
Yes, yes.
Land of the beautiful people.
So what are you particularly looking forward to?
The beautiful people. I'm freshly single, so I'm finally allowed to enjoy the Finnish men. But beyond that, I'm very focused on this event. Don't worry to everybody who's listening. I'm really excited because I feel like for so long, I've been able to interact with a bunch of incredible Finnish fans. And I'm super stoked that finally I'm going to be able to kind of get to see what their skating world is really like. So I think that's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited because once this world is over and done with, it's like Olympic season. It's go time. So I want to get that performance that I'm looking to kind of top off the season with. I want to get that out there, get that experience. And then before you know it, it's like time to really start planning for this next Olympic season. And that's what's really exciting for me. Yeah.
And then you got World Team Trophy.
Okay, that evil laugh is not fair at all. But yes, then I get to go all the way over to Japan and compete again.
The fans love World Team Trophy. You guys goof off all the time.
Actually, you know what? It's one of the hardest events to train for.
I bet.
Because you're like, this is human cruelty. I should not be doing long programs after Worlds. And then you get to the event and it is such an awesome setup. And for us, it's really fun. It really is. So like once you can like get over to Japan and it's like, okay, this is our last round. Like everybody put on their crazy Team USA goggles and hats and wigs. Let's do this. Like that's fun.
As you've done for a few years now, and I was alluding to this earlier, you've opted out of four continents to get more rest and more training time in. Were you paying close attention to the competition? And if so, did any of the results, whether it's your teammates or other competitors' results, did any of that change your mindset for Worlds?
For some people, it works for them to pay attention to what other people are doing. For me, it really does not have any impact on my training or how I prepare for anything. So I really, like, I know the results, but I did not pay attention to what anyone was doing at all. That's not going to affect how I train. I have to train differently than 18-year-old girls because I'm not an 18-year-old girl. And so that's part of the reason why a lot of the times I will choose to stay home from this event because for me, nationals is exhausting.
Yep.
It is such a huge competition and mentally more than anything else, you know, it's not a walk in the park and you go and you skate in front of these huge crowds and I'm a very emotional skater. So for me, I put so much of myself out there on the ice that by the end of a competition, I am absolutely fried. I have nothing left.
Yeah.
There's no point in me going to these events and they're usually over in Asia and Asia trips are pretty difficult. Satoko usually has been training for four continents like for the entire season and she's like so ready to go and her nationals is a month earlier than mine and I don't need that.
Yeah.
I really don't. And so I stay home and I train because that's for me what works best.
Right. It was funny when Raph was on, he was like, well, you know, if Ashley had been with me ever since the beginning, she would totally be going to four continents because she would be ready to go. Do you think that that's actually the case?
Up every day. He's like, if I had only started with you when you were five, you would be a prodigy. And I'm like, I'd be dead, Raph.
You'd be doing quadruple flips, maybe.
Oh my goodness. No, I see that every single day. It's the most humbling experience in the world to train with Nathan.
Of course, there's also a bunch of you right now training together for Helsinki. You mentioned Nathan, obviously, Mariah and Mick. And so, like, what's the atmosphere like at the rink right now?
If I'm going to be honest, it's insanity, because I think everyone is in their, like, week out panic mode.
Yeah.
Which everyone's allowed to be in. But it's really, really motivating. I think that this environment that we have going on really pushes everybody. And it's nice because the way that REF has it set up, you know, we're all adults training for our job. This is our job. This is, we come in and this is like our hours that we put into the office.
Yep.
And so there's no nonsense. And on the outside looking in, that might be really intense, but the camaraderie that we have backstage in the locker room, it's nice to have the support of everybody. We all know what it's like to deal with Raph when he's in a terrible mood, and having each other definitely helps. And on the ice, it's just really motivating. It's been great for me.
Yeah. And so during this break between the U.S. Championships and now, you've gone up to Toronto to kind of fine-tune your programs. You've done more training. What's been your main focus areas since Kansas City?
Spins, but also I use a lot of video in practice. So for me, the only real video that I get of my programs is whatever I can find on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that really bugged me about Nationals was that the first part of the program, I really liked how it looked. I liked how it felt for me. But then you watch the second half and it just got so sloppy. And I am one of those people that can get lost in the music, and, you know, this music is chaotic and it's very big. And, you know, if I'm just feeling so emotional, it'll get very sloppy. And so when I went out to Shea, I wanted to get a little bit more, I revamped it with some more transitions, but beyond that, to really clarify the steps. So that way there is control throughout the second half of the program, and it looks a little bit more like you can identify steps within it. And I think that's kind of been my problem this year, at least. So I think that would be a big change that people will notice going into Worlds. I also revamped the short program almost entirely. The dance section has been completely changed. The footwork is new footwork, and the whole program is less of an exhibition program and more of a competitive program now.
Interesting. I hope you've kept the shimmies in, though.
There are shimmies.
Okay, good.
But they're one-footed shimmies.
What? Yeah, I was going to say. They're shimmies that are on an Ina Bauer, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. There are shimmies mid-transition now.
how have the hockey puck and water bottle laps been? Have you been doing those too?
I've been doing them myself, and they've been going great. But honestly, at this point, we're just drilling sections and sections and full run throughs and another full run through and more sections. And I know this program inside out, upside down and backwards. And I'm pretty sure everyone's sick of my music at this point. So that's about where we are in the season.
When we talked in October, you had mentioned that, you know, we were talking about your free skate just now. You had mentioned that you wanted your free skate to have variety and for it to be raw and gritty. Has that program been what you were hoping for it to be?
Oh, absolutely. It's been that and so much more. I think that this program is really special to me because it's me. It's how I'm feeling. It's experiences that I have gone through. It's very real. And that just feels like something that I don't usually get to have in skating. So, you know, having that as a program has just been really fun for me to skate. It's different from anything I've ever done before, and that's refreshing, and it makes it a lot easier when, you know, you're doing it 10 million times a day, because it still feels like something new for me. Whereas if I had done, you know, another Warhorse Showgirl program potentially 3 years in a row, it just would have felt really stale. So because I really switched up the genre, I think that that has helped me so much in being able to train it as much as I do.
You also have a new show program that you got some choreography for when you were in Toronto, right?
Yes.
What can you tell us about that program?
I'm going to have really fun gloves, and it's called Hand Clap by Fits in the Tantrums, and Shaylin choreographed it, so it is awesome. That woman is brilliant, and if I could be her, I would, but we can't always get what we want. it's really fun. It was nice because I got to go to Toronto and we revamped along, and then I just needed something fun for myself. And I knew that I wanted a total, like, interactive, make the audience feel like I'm going to literally, like, take their hands and make them clap. It'll be really fun. I think people will enjoy it a lot.
Very cool. Yeah, it's always interesting the music pieces and genres that skaters pick for their exhibitions. Some of them are just very, very cerebral and, like, they make you think. And, for me, I'm kind of like, I don't generally watch too many exhibitions to begin with, but it's like me watching television. I'm like, I'd much rather watch a comedy that, like, allows me to, like, just sit back and enjoy it rather than, like, having to go and watch these cerebral programs where I'm like, oh God, I have to think.
Well, people want easy entertainment.
Yeah.
And that's what I deliver.
Yeah.
I'm easy entertainment. That's if anyone can say anything about me, I hope that's what they get from what I do.
Easy
I hope that they can easily enjoy what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't want to make anyone think too much because I can barely think too much. So I don't want to make it too difficult on anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are training all week and like I'm literally in the rink, like typing my fingers off for 16 hours a day during the whole competition. So it's like,
yeah, but carpal tunnel's a real thing. So, you know, you're putting just as much on the line.
My wrists are still okay, I hope. All right, well, so we are just a few days, really, from the World Championships now. You are obviously going in as the defending silver medalist after that fantastic, magical, mind-blowing, whatever you want to call it, performance last year. How much inspiration will you take from your performances last year?
None whatsoever. Because I do not believe in dwelling on the past, whether it be positive or negative. I think that going in as a world silver medalist is not going to do anything for me. And so I'm going to just come in with a completely reset attitude because I know that this year is going to be a lot more difficult than last year. I know that. I know what I'm up against. I think that Cup of China has made me very wary about international competition, if I'm going to be frank. And so I know that no favors will be done for me. That basically means that I have to be as clean and secure as I possibly can. And I'm not pre-qualified in any way.
Yeah.
I don't that you can just assume that what I'm doing is clean because of what I did last year. That's not the case. So I am more prepared. I am running through my programs more than I think I ever have in my life. I'm in the best shape that I have ever gone into worlds in. And I know that I don't have friends at worlds. So I have to just deliver and be solid and nothing can be questionable because it'll be questioned.
You're like one of those reality TV contestants who start their first day being like, I'm not here to make friends.
I mean, I am. I would love for someone to be my friend. I really would. But I just know that if something is gray, it's not going to go in my favor. Oh, cue the like Jaws music.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I know that our Ice Talk listeners will be very excited to see you back again at Worlds. Good luck with the rest of your preparation, and we will see you in Finland.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for having me back, and yes, I'll see you all in Finland.
You know, we here on Ice Talk are pulling out all the stops to get you prepared and excited for the 2017 World Championships. We have one more episode in our preview series left before competition starts, and I'll have Lynn Rutherford and Jason Brown on for part 4. But we are not stopping there. We're doing something very new for Worlds. I'll be live in Finland for Ice Network, bringing you analysis and Q&A on Facebook Live. So make sure to follow me on Twitter at RockerSkating and at Ice Network for the full details. Special thanks this week to Tara Lipinski and Ashley Wagner for being on the podcast. If you missed either part 1 or part 2 of our Worlds preview episodes, you can definitely find them archived on iTunes and on icenetwork.com. on the fans page. Ice Talk is produced by Kate Sullivan and edited by Mickey Brown. From the ultra-cool Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, I'm Jackie Wong, and we'll talk to you again in just a few days.